Hey friends, welcome to The Problem with Perfect. What is the problem with perfect? It's the myth that if we just do more, be more, and have more, our lives will be perfect. I'm Robin May, a journalist, wife, mother, and most days, a faith-filled Christian.
And I'm Denise Bickle, a clinical therapist, educator, mom, Mimi, and spirit-filled follower. As recovering perfectionists, we promise to be transparent and real and to share the wisdom of trusted advisors and guests.
So pull up a chair and have a seat. There's always a place for you at our table. Welcome back to another episode of The Problem with Perfect. Hello, friend. How are you?
I am well. How about you?
I'm doing great. I'm doing great. I'm very excited about this topic because, as it turns out, this is a topic that I think I see in other people. And I think, wow, that's a problem. They need to make an effort to improve that in themselves. Like, and then as I researched this, I realized, oh my gosh, I have this problem.
I know. Everyone does. But it is funny when you are thinking, boy, that person should really, you know, get their stuff together. And then you realize, and that person is me.
That person is me. Exactly. Yes.
That's right.
So today we're going to be talking about it's okay not to be okay. So to dig a little deeper in that, our topic specifically is going to be this one that we've kind of debated on addressing several times for a long time. But we're going to talk about toxic positivity, which kind of at the outset, you're like, toxic positivity, that seems like an oxymoron. But Denise, you've mentioned before that you are not a fan of sayings like, oh, everything happens for a reason, or something good always comes from something bad. So I'm just wondering, as we start this conversation today, would you consider those to be examples of toxic positivity?
Yeah, definitely. And I don't think it's just me that is the only one that isn't fond of those sayings. I've heard from several clients over the years, and I think you've experienced this too, where those thoughts and sayings can kind of feel empty and trite. I know people, when they're faced with someone's suffering or pain, they want to say something to make things better, but it's difficult to do without sounding like it's just a platitude. And so it wasn't until recently, actually, that I learned that there is a clinical definition for those terms, and it is toxic positivity.
Which is the cool thing, because I think it just gives credibility to something that we probably all experienced but didn't know that it had a name. Mm-hmm. And today we're going to also talk about, it's probably also something that unknowingly we do with others. And what's most surprising for me is that I do with myself. So to begin unpacking that, in an article in verywellmind.com, toxic positivity is described as the belief, and I think this is important to kind of to define it. It's described as the belief that no matter how dire or difficult a situation is, people should always maintain a positive mindset. And certainly, we don't want to confuse people. There are definite benefits to being optimistic. And I think that, you know, as I would say by nature, I'm definitely what I would consider an optimist. The glass is always half full for me. So being optimistic and engaging things towards a positive way of thinking about them is definitely beneficial. But this whole idea of toxic positivity, it basically rejects all the emotions in favor of just like, nope, we're going to be cheerful and we're going to be positive, and it's really just a facade. So some of the examples for our listeners that are like, I really don't still know what you're talking about, I think these examples will be helpful. So the examples that the article cites include, like, when something bad happens, people might say to you, oh, let's look on the bright side. Or when someone is expressing sadness or pain, so they're telling you their pain, or you're telling someone else about your pain, the reply is, well, just remember, happiness is a choice. And then the article even references one that we mentioned earlier, which everything happens for a reason.
Right. And, you know, therein lies the problem, because it is great to be positive and cheerful. And I absolutely do see that in you every single day. But in reality, life isn't always rainbows and unicorns. And, you know, sometimes life sucks. And toxic positivity focuses on the positive at the expense of true and honest emotions. So if someone is sad and hurting and they want to talk about that or express their feelings, and we reply with, well, cheer up, little camper, things are going to get better, they feel unheard. They feel like they've been dismissed. And sometimes they can even, there can even be some harmful effects to toxic positivity. When someone shares their emotions, it, you know, it may, they may feel like when they talk about that and someone responds with, now, now, don't talk like that, everything's going to be fine. I mean, that's not helpful to people that are going through really difficult times, because sometimes everything isn't going to be fine.
Hey, Denise, I wonder, as you counsel with people, do you, I'm laughing as I say this because I remember counseling with you, okay? So this is a rhetorical question, but do you hear people say those things to you about their own emotions?
I don't hear that too much. I mean, by the time I'm meeting with people, they're usually there to talk about how everyone else is saying those things to them and how they're not helpful and how hurtful it is that they don't feel like they can really be honest about their emotions. People don't want to hear that. They want to hear happiness and joy and positivity rather than sometimes just the true emotion someone is experiencing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, maybe it's just me, because I do find that sometimes I'm like, oh, I'm fine, or it's not really that big of a deal, or get over it and just like put a smile on your face and be happy. So I think that in that sense that I struggle internally with some of these ideas about toxic positivity. And that really was a surprise to me to kind of have that awareness, that recognition as I started to dig into this topic, because I mean, honestly, people, well-meaning, lovely, lovely people have said, you know, some of these things to me over the years with Matt being sick. And I know it comes from a place of, I want to help you and I want to encourage you. And maybe I don't know what to say, but sometimes it does get hard to hear.
Absolutely. Well, and the other thing that it does is that it sidesteps emotional situations that are uncomfortable, and it dismisses people's feelings. It's like, no, 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 you can't, don't be sad about this. This is all going to work out just fine. Mm-hmm. And certainly, you know, there are lots of situations that things do work out fine in retrospect, but not always. And so being aware that those kind of toxic positivity statements can really shut someone down. They mm-hmm. may feel like, okay, no one really understands. And if I try and talk about it, I'm just going to bum them out more.
Right. Well, and to expand on that, I think I would love to ask you, why do we think that people, myself included, lend ourselves to toxic positivity? Why does that happen, either internally or externally with other people? And then I do have to just say that I had a boss one time for a couple of years who on the outset was like the most positive person you've ever met, like loved it, loved the enthusiasm. And that was all great and fine until the rubber hit the road and like there'd be problems at work, really hard things. And I would go and have conversations with this person and leave those conversations thinking, oh, he's right. I can be positive about this. Shoot, I wasn't going to say if it was a he or she. I messed that up. That, you know, he would say, you know, but the good side of this is, like, if I heard that a million times, it was probably not an exaggeration. You know, so you mm-hmm. go to someone with a problem. Well, the good side of this is, and you just want to sit in the fact that, you know what, right now, I don't see the good side. Right now, it's hard. And I just want to feel supported. And maybe you could offer me some advice about how to make this thing less hard, or what you might do as my leader. What solutions might you have other than coming back and saying, Well, the great thing about this is, because right now, I'm not feeling it.
Yeah. And how did it feel when that was the response? What did that do for you internally?
Well, eventually it just became super frustrating because it was like, you aren't going to help me with this situation. And even what you're going to say isn't going to be helpful because at that point it was toxic. It was toxic to our relationship because I had felt so unheard and unseen for so long, number one. And then number two, like, I told you I like to be positive. So when someone's saying to me, oh, Robin, you should be more positive, and that stuck with me. And so eventually it really drove a wedge in our relationship. And to be honest too, I never was able to like articulate that specifically in a meaningful way that our relationship really overcame that. Having said that, and it's kind of going back to my question, I think I had to always kind of come back to why is he doing this? And so I think that that's worth exploring a little bit, that I think, based on that experience and then reflecting on my own experience, that the whole bend toward toxic positivity is because we're not equipped to deal with those emotions, or we don't want to deal with those emotions, or we just kind of don't want to get involved. So that's my thought.
Right.
What do you think?
I think you're right in that regard. I think people are so uncomfortable when they are faced with difficult situations, either as the recipient of those difficult conversations or as the bystander who loves us, who cares about us, who is our boss. They want things to go well for us. I think, we have to think about assuming good intent. People mean well, but when we've talked about this on the show several times, I'm sorry. I'm sorry this is so hard. I'm sorry that this is happening to you. Those words are so much more comforting, I think, and I hear that from clients rather than, well, at least they're not suffering anymore. Or, God only takes the good ones. Or, God never lets anything, something good will always come from something bad. And that's not how people feel when their child is sick or when their job is difficult and they need support. And so I think that's where the division occurs, is people that are in the, sitting in their shit, as we say, need support, and they reach out to people, and what they get back is platitudes and, buckle up, little camper. Things are going to get better. You just keep smiling. I mean, that doesn't do anything for their heart or their soul.
No, my least favorite one that isn't in this article, and again, if people are listening and you said this to me, I love you and I appreciate you, but frequently people would say, God won't give you more than you can handle. And
Yeah.
I learned to respond to that respectfully. I think God has given me more than I can handle every day since this started, but that's okay because it's not more than he can handle. And just pointing it back to like, I'm gonna be okay because my faith is not in my strength to handle these situations, but this is hard. Don't say God won't give me more than I can handle, because I've been pushed to the limit and then some.
That's right. No, it's funny that that's your one. It's my mom's also. When my brothers died, people would say to my mom, gosh, it's just important to remember God never gives us more than we can handle. And my mom finally got to the point where she said, I wish he didn't trust me so much.
Yeah. Well, and also, it's not biblical. That is not biblical. So that's the other thing. But again, I know it came from well-meaning people I think it's meant to point people back, like that God's big enough to handle these things. So because he's big enough, we're big enough. But in that moment, when you're hanging on by a thread, you're like, oh. So anyway, I've led us right into some of the harmful effects of toxic positivity. So you want to expand on those, Denise?
Well, we talked a little bit about shame. Sometimes you express how worried or concerned you are, and someone says, "Now, now, don't talk like that. Everything's going to be fine." Sometimes people feel guilty for how they're feeling. Maybe they don't feel like God is giving them the grace that they need to get through something. It does result, I think, sometimes in discounting people's feelings or dismissing their feelings. I tell you something that's really heavy on my heart, and your response is something that may feel trite and not really sincere. It's easy to have those platitudes that we just spew out whenever we're uncomfortable. So, and then the other thing is, and I do think this is important, is, sometimes when we're going through really hard times, there is going to be an opportunity for growth in that situation. So, not letting me explore my emotions, work through the process of whatever I'm going through, and walking alongside of me rather than putting up a roadblock allows me to process my feelings and move forward.
And just as you said that, I couldn't help but think about, doggone it, that's a lesson I should have heard 20 years ago. Because I'm not sure always as a parent or even as a spouse, which is good for me to reflect upon now. And I'm still a parent, but it's different when you're coming alongside adolescents who are trying to learn to manage their emotions. And if I don't have the ability to allow them to grow from the experience and be uncomfortable in those feelings, then I think there's probably been times in my life where I have been toxically positive to my kids in that situation.
Yeah, because it's hard to watch our kids suffer. And so we want to jump in and fix that for them. That's just parenting 101, I think. But especially allowing emotions to surface and give them the space and time that they need just to process what's going on and not try and fix things. As parents, I think we do somewhat of an injustice when we try and fix things rather than allowing our children to go through the natural process of loss and grief and emotional turmoil and all the things that we experience as humans.
Yeah, makes sense. I do wonder, like, in your experience with people, is like, when might we recognize, how might we recognize, I guess, is the better way, that we are trying to protect ourselves from these emotions that we can't bear, or they're too much for us in that situation, or the emotions of someone we love are too much, and so we start going down this, oh, everything's going to be okay path, rather than allowing people to sit and say, it's okay not to be okay. My question is, how do we recognize, or what might you say to someone to help them recognize that really the issue is that they're uncomfortable with the emotions?
Right. I think we feel that inside when we're uncomfortable. You kind of get that knot in your stomach, or maybe you tear up, or you're looking at someone and just wondering, oh my goodness, how in the world are they surviving this? Taking time to process your own feelings before you respond to someone else. Just taking a breath, and again, I think just the sincerity of I'm sorry to hear this. I'm here if there's anything that I can do. Those things I think are so much more helpful and meaningful than the trite, now, now, let's don't talk like that. Could be worse. I know you lost your job, but there's a lot of people that have been looking for a job for the last 3 years, and it doesn't sit well with people. It doesn't provide any comfort or support.
Yeah. What you said there that really resonated with me is just kind of pausing. Like, and I'm in a situation where I feel like I'm compelled to like figure out when I'm asking myself, what should I say? It is not normal for me just to stop and pause and just like t check in with my body. Like, what am I feeling?
Exactly.
Yeah.
And
Because
the
maybe.
pause is always beneficial, before we respond to a comment that we didn't appreciate, or before we want to give advice, or before We want to offer a platitude. That pause can be so meaningful.
Yeah. Well, that's a huge takeaway for me, is just stopping to check in and pause and like, is this, am I going to am I going to say something that's trying to protect my heart rather than be helpful? So
exactly.
Thank you for that. I also appreciated the article. It gave advice on avoiding toxic positivity when we recognize it in ourselves. So like, what are our own toxic positivity behaviors? So it suggests that we develop an attitude that it's okay not to be okay. And I really, really love that. And I think that there's a lot of people that need to hear that today and will need to be reminded of it later. And just giving ourselves the grace to feel whatever we feel without shame or without guilt. So, that there's not one way someone should feel, or there's not a perfect way to navigate life. Your emotions are your emotions, and they are okay. And even when it feels like they're not okay, it's okay.
Yeah, that's oftentimes where that should comes in. Yeah, I should be happy. I should be grateful. I should focus on the positive. And we're doing that to ourselves. That's not even things we're saying to someone else. We're saying those things internally, or maybe out loud to ourselves. And that's damaging.
Ah, that's an aha moment, I think, right there. I think if people don't hear anything else, at least for me, realizing that I try to make myself be, have to be positive all the time. And it's toxic when I deny myself the availability, the opportunity to just be real with myself about my emotions without feeling like they're not okay. So love, love, love that. Thank you for adding your expert opinion to that. Another thing that the article suggests is that managing our negative emotions, so learning to manage them rather than denying them. So avoiding negative emotions can increase our stress, especially at times when things are already stressful. So you're adding fuel to the fire, so to speak. So allowing those negative emotions and allowing ourselves those negative emotions, I should say, and addressing those feelings can really lead to that emotional growth that you talked about earlier, which I've tried to, protect my children from that growth. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I think too, when one of the things that's important as humans, when we go through difficult times, is remembering those times when the next difficult time rolls around, because then I remember what this was like when I had this experience before, and here's the things that really helped me. And I know that I went through that, and so I'm confident I'll get through this. And if not, I know what to do to help me along the way.
Yeah, that's good. From a spiritual perspective, one of my favorite theologians is John Piper, and he always says that past grace should give you confidence in future grace. And don't you know, I've had days where I've had to say that. Yeah. And I think all of us do, right? That God's gotten us here. He's been faithful. He was faithful yesterday. He'll be faithful today, and he'll be faithful tomorrow. But doing that in a way that doesn't say, that doesn't mean it's not hard. It's hard. But having confidence that we're not alone, for me, is helpful.
That's right. Yeah. The other thing the article provided, which I think was really helpful too, was a list of ways to cope with toxic positivity. So now we're on the other end where we're receiving it, and how to process those thoughts when they may not be helpful. They may even be damaging at the time. And so one of the suggestions was, be realistic about what you feel. So again, don't even try and fool yourself. Some things are really hard, and be kind to yourself, practice self-care, recognize change takes time. So sometimes, even though people are expressing toxic positivity, just going internally, turning inside, and using your coping techniques to deal with that. And I'll say disappointment, because I've shared with people different hard things, and their response was something toxic, a toxic response. And I thought, wow, well, that are worse yet. You know, you get the, well, I know, boy, I remember when I was going through this. And you're like, wait, this isn't about you. This was about me. I wanted to talk about me. And you find yourself nodding and saying, oh, yeah, I'm sorry. That sounds like it was really hard. And your feelings and emotions just got put to the side. So that's something to remember. The other thing that I thought was, and this thought came to mind when you were talking about a previous boss, is don't be afraid to challenge the person being toxically positive. And I think that's a really good point. I mean, of course, we're going to want to do it with grace and kindness, but it can feel uncomfortable to address it with somebody. But the opportunity there is that it makes your relationship more authentic and real. If I say to you, you know, Robin, when I tell you this problem I'm having and you say to me, well, you just need to pray harder, that doesn't really help me. And you don't say that. This is a role play. Sorry. I saw the look on your face like, oh, crap, did I say that? No, you did not say that. But that deepens and enriches our relationship if I can say to you, you know, those things just aren't helpful. Here's what I need right now. Or maybe I just need a hug, or maybe I just need you to say, I'm right here with you.
Such a good point. And I would also say, if you evaluate and you ask yourself, like, how important is this relationship to me? Then it's, you've got to have those hard conversations, because if you don't, I remember when Rachel was co-hosting, she would always talk about shallow end friendships or relationships, right? If you can't navigate that, then that person, that relationship will always stay in the shallow end. It won't be able to extend and mature and grow into that deeper relationship that you want, because it's a serious roadblock.
Exactly. And it doesn't take too many times before you realize, oh, this isn't the person I go to for that.
100%. Yep.
Yeah. So I thought those two things were really important to, even if you don't get what you need, to be sure and take good care of yourself. But also, you know, and we've had difficult conversations over the years, but that's because I trust that you can handle it. And I trust that our relationship can handle it, and that we'll be better off for having shared true vulnerability. That's a hard word to say, vulnerability.
Yeah.
And authenticity. Yeah.
Yeah, vulnerability and authenticity, which, you know, is part of the deal. I frequently find myself in situations in real life where I go, well, you know, if I was given advice on the podcast, this is what I would do.
Boy, doesn't that come back to bite you in the butt?
It does. In fact, Tom had a conversation with me this weekend where he basically said that. He's like, well, I've heard you say on the podcast, you know.
Of course he listened to that episode.
Yeah, exactly. But for me, sometimes it is practicing what I preach. And also, you know, I have some remorse as you're talking about this, because I do feel like there's times in my life where I've been uncomfortable and I've said the wrong thing. So if any one of my friends is listening, I'm sorry and I love you. Yeah. I'm going to do better, because I'm more equipped to recognize the importance of just being genuine about my feelings and asking you to be genuine about your feelings whenever I feel like it's gone down that toxic positivity road. That's not helpful to anyone. So on that note, I think it's good to reinforce for everyone that know that it's okay to feel more than one thing. This is so enlightening to me, because sometimes it's like we get so wrapped up in our emotions and it's emotions. Like, rarely I would say does one emotion reside all by itself. So difficult situations, they do, and they can result in us being stressed or worried or for sure being fearful. But being kind to ourselves and practicing that self-care that we've talked about, and just recognizing all this and recognizing that change does take time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A second thing that the article would suggest as we make progress with toxic positivity, and again, we've talked about it, is just noticing how you feel. And I think sometimes we kind of get stuck in that social media rut, and social media contains all kinds of different messages, but it does contain uplifting posts and memes. So either try to gravitate towards those with your social media consumption, or realize that social media in times of hardship, it can be hard and it can be good. So, and I know that somebody that I love a lot found herself like really struggling with social media and how everyone was happy, and she was in a spot to be happy with everybody. So she just had to like take a vacation from social media. So use social media for good, or try to have the realization that maybe it's just time for a break.
Yeah.
And another thing, it's not a shocker that you and I are going to say this, is never be afraid to put your feelings into words. And so that means whether you're journaling, whether you're talking to a trusted friend, whether you meet with a counselor, just put those feelings into words. Because as we say, thoughts disentangle as they pass through our fingers and sometimes through our mouths. But research does suggest that putting your feelings into words can help lower the intensity of the negative feelings. So they aren't as intense. They aren't as powerful once we're able to articulate them.
True. And then again, back to the, and you know, journaling, so I was, when I saw that as their suggestion, I was like, oh yeah, we already got all that. But the journal can also provide guidance and wisdom. If you go back and read what you wrote when you were experiencing a hard time before, it gives you an opportunity to be reminded, oh yeah, that's what worked before. Or yes, I've had those feelings before and I'm still here. So there's just not enough that we can say about the value of journaling.
Yeah, absolutely. So Denise, I am glad that we finally did talk about toxic positivity. You know, when we started talking about it, I think it was out of frustration. Mm-hmm. You know, that I wanted other people to know better so they could do better. But it turns out that I learned a lot too about how I could do better as well. So thank you for pushing us to have this conversation. And I think you have something really cool to help us end our time together today.
I do. This is a poem that came off of social media. So there you go.
There you go.
Yeah. It's a poem by Yuli Kay. And we'll put the link in the show notes. And it's called The Antidote. The best medicine you can bring for sadness is not joy. It is not telling them that they need to move on or get over it or realize how much worse things could be. No. The medicine for a spirit in mourning is tenderness and warmth and compassion and connection and presence. Sit with someone in their grief and let them cry their ugly tears. Do not shine and scurry grief away. They must walk through it. This is love. To abandon all that we think we know and be so full of grace that we are invited in to partake in someone else's darkest moments. What an honor it is to simply be a light. The antidote for sadness is love. It is always love.
Oh man, my soul needed that, Denise. Thank you. So thank you for your love and thank you for your light. Thanks for listening to the podcast. We're honored you're sharing your day with us.
Do you love a good book? So do we. So join us for the Problem with Perfect Book Club. If you'd like more information about what we're reading this month and how to join us for the virtual discussion, please email us at theproblemwithperfect@gmail.com. Or if you have a topic you'd like us to discuss on the podcast,
Use that same email, theproblemwithperfect@gmail.com, to send us your ideas or feedback. We love hearing from you.
And if this episode has been helpful, please share it with a friend or a family member who might find it encouraging. Secondly, we would love for you to leave a review on Apple or on Spotify. It's only going to take you a few minutes, but it will really help our podcast grow. And while you're there, make sure you've subscribed to the podcast so you never miss an episode.
As always, a special shout out to our editor, Jordan Overkamp, for making us sparkle.
And remember, there's always enough grace for you today, so be sure to give it to yourself.